Now, join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Tandy from Arroyo Grande.
Hi, I'm Tan D from Arroyo Grande, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. Microphones trip me out because I hear an echo, and I'm like, ooh, what is that? It's me. Oh, okay, so I have 10 minutes, and I am not nervous. I really want to thank Brenda for asking me to share tonight. I feel honored to do so because I know so many people in this room who have helped keep me alive over the last 13 years. And I just really can't thank you guys enough for the support and love that I've been given. And to anybody who's new or just listening tonight, my story is just one of millions of a girl who struggled with alcoholism, who found her way in Alcoholics Anonymous, and lived to tell about it, and am still living. So I was thinking about, you know, how to sum sort of this up quickly, and I've learned a lot about alcoholism over these last 13 years. It's like I feel like I'm in perpetual school, always learning more about this disease. And in my story, I got sober September 20th, 2004, because I had nowhere else to turn, because I was going to die. I mean, literally, the way I was drinking, there was no future for me. With the work that I've done through the 12 steps, what I was able to kind of identify in my life was I had that curious mental part of the disease that was, they call it the obsession of the mind, ever since I was little. So as far back as I can remember, I have fear. I mean, just intense fear of everything, people, places, things, myself. And I had no place to put this fear. I had no solution for my fears. I was raised by a dad who didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear how I was feeling. He never asked me, how are you feeling? You know, because he didn't, you know, want to be uncomfortable, you know, handling a little kid's emotions. I was kind of told what I felt like. You're fine. You know, you're not hot. You're not cold. You know, you're not sad. Go to your room if you're going to be sad. You know, those kind of things. And so I couldn't go to my family with what I was feeling inside. And I think that really crippled me as a young person, because when you have a lot of fear and nobody to talk to about it, you have this huge imagination. And very early on in school, I remember feeling like I have all these questions and I don't know how to solve them. I don't know how to make friends. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how kids are doing things that other kids are doing naturally. I very distinctly remember, like in high school, wanting to join certain clubs and not knowing how. I just saw people going about things that to me were really complicated, and I didn't know how to even ask the question. In my family, you don't ask questions, you just don't. And so I always felt like life was just kind of happening to me. What I did know is that it must be better somewhere else, and wherever I was, it was wrong. I was at the wrong elementary school. I knew if I went to the other one, I'd be fine. And I was in the wrong class. If I had the other teacher, I'd be fine. You know, I even had the wrong friends. You know, if I got to pick my own friends, I'd be fine. But they picked me because I was too scared to talk to people. They invited me to their little group. But, you know, all I knew is it was always probably better somewhere else, and I didn't know how to get there. So I found myself at the wrong university, in the wrong sorority. And that is where I found the one thing that felt right for me, which was alcohol. Because what I learned as a freshman in college, I mean, I had sips and drinks in high school. There was one experience actually in high school where I went to a party and actually felt drunk. But it wasn't like college. College was like, nobody's watching you, no adults, and you get to drink. And that's where I found out that I felt right. Like, I was right where I was supposed to be when I drank. I didn't care, you know, what I looked like or that I wasn't good enough or smart enough. I could talk to anybody. It became like this magic elixir. And that's because, you know, it eased that part of my mind that needed that medicine. And what ended up happening is that I used alcohol like a drug for the next 15 years. I mean, I didn't want to do anything without it. You know, anywhere I went, I had to have that drink in my hand so I could have that feeling that everything was right. And, you know, maybe in college that works, but, you know, as I started to get older in age, I never learned how to get solutions to fears that I had, because the minute I stopped drinking, all the fear would come back again. It was like Cinderella, you know, how did she get those slippers? Oh, a fairy godmother, you know, and she only has like a couple hours to be perfect, and then it all comes crashing down. That was like my hangover. My reality comes crashing down. I'm still the girl without the good job or the right boyfriend, and I'm still in the wrong apartment, and I still have that wrong job, and, you know, just give me more alcohol so I don't have to think about it. Well, the night that changed my life, I had been a continuous daily drinker for over a year. It had gotten to the point where I was drinking alone in my apartment by myself with no good reason. I didn't need anything to be right. I wasn't being social anymore. I was just drinking alone. And as I was blacking out, as I so often did alone in those days, I had a vision come to me of my future, and it was very clear, and I believe it was directly from God as I understand him now. And it was, it looked like something after the apocalypse. There was a burnt out earth. There was nothing growing. There was no living thing. And it had a feeling of death and loneliness. And the voice said, "That's your future." And I passed out, and I woke up the next day. I called my mom, terrified, because I knew I was probably going to have this vision come true if I didn't do something about my drinking, because all I knew is that I was really, really, really sick. And my mom was in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she said, I said, "Can I go to a meeting with you?" And this is my favorite part, because she said that she did this. Yes. And then she got back on the phone, and she's like, "Okay," you know. She'd been sober for several years, and everybody else in my family as well. I come from a family of alcoholics, believe it or not, and I was the black sheep. I was like the last one to ask for any sort of help, and they had known for a long time I was going downhill, but they never jumped me. They never, sorry, they never had an intervention on me. And, you know, at that point, I really wished I could have gone to rehab. I didn't know how, right? I didn't know how to ask those questions. I was so clueless. I wanted it to be all about me at that point. Somebody tell me what's wrong with me. All I know is that I just drink, and it's not even giving me that feeling that everything's right anymore. I drink, and it still is just wrong around the clock, you know? But my mom took me to a meeting. Everybody was so nice. It was a Serenity group on Nelson. It's still my home group. I sat just, like, frigid, like the iceberg behind me. Like, that was me at the back of the room, you know? I was afraid that people were going to tell me what to do and boss me around, and they didn't. They just said, "Hi, welcome, have some eggs," you know, because there was a breakfast meeting, and that was really cool. And, you know, what I found there was this safe place to come in and sit down and not drink. And honestly, that is all I needed Alcoholics Anonymous for at that moment. I came in still with the ism. I came into the rooms still really sick. I started, you know, my sobriety a week gone by, a month gone by, 2-3 months, but I still had the ism. I hadn't done anything to treat that brain of mine that was so full of fear. And I think I must have been having ridiculous shares in those meetings, because somebody said to me, "You know what, you really should get sponsored to feel better. You know, if you did a little of this work that we're talking about, you might get some relief for those crazy thoughts." So I did. I took that suggestion. You know, I actually did one right thing. I got this beautiful woman to take me under her wing. Her name was Patty B. And she just walked me like a child, hand in hand, you know, through the landmine of my life, using the big book and one step at a time all the way to 12. And the epiphanies that I was having, I mean, they were crazy. I didn't know, actually, that I was so powerless and fearful in my life. I didn't know how to have a voice. I didn't know I even had an opinion. I remember she told me, okay, we're going to meet tomorrow and go over some of the steps. And I'd say, okay, great. And it'd be silent. And she'd be like, aren't you going to ask me like where we're meeting, what time we're meeting? And I was like, I was just waiting for you to tell me. And she's like, you need to ask questions. You know, she taught me actually how to ask for things. Who knew I didn't know how to ask, you know? So I've been asking for things now. I mean, as my life has gone on, I learned I actually can feel my feelings. When I know something that I want, I can identify it now. You know, I have this step 12. I had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I had that psychic and physical spiritual change that made me into somebody that I saw other people being, you know, just comfortable in her own skin and happy, you know, and calm. And I was able to finally get a job that was right. And I've been in it for years because it's right. And I'm not like going, oh, that other job must be better somewhere out there, you know. And I won't even get started with relationships. You know, the guy was always wrong. I mean, guys in my life might have lasted about, a month. But when I started working on a real relationship because it felt right, I found myself with somebody that I love and who supports me in this program, and I never thought I deserved that. So, sorry. I'm just so grateful because this isn't an easy deal, but if you have the courage to not run and look for the bigger, better deal somewhere else, you're going to get something back that you never knew you even deserved, you know, and it's just a beautiful gift. And I hope you find that you're worth it. So just take your time and look into yourself and stay a while, because that's what I did. And I am here to pass that message on, that Alcoholics Anonymous has those things that you're looking for, and you just might like it. So thank you, Brenda.